Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we come to you in prayer, Father, we want to pray for this nation of ours. This nation is standing in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's standing in need of repentance. Our government, Father, has brought so much evil upon this land and our people. We need those removed from office, Father, that's standing against the church, against your people, against the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to make the Bible hate speech. And we need them replaced with your children, those that will stand and work for the church, work for the Lord Jesus Christ, work for your people, and will work to help us to bring this land to repentance, and help us to get our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, set upon. And that was your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we know that a lot of this that's going on today is laid at the door of these worldly churches. That's why your word has told us that your judgment will start at the church. Because, Father, a lot of them are teaching and preaching things that are contrary to your word. Man made up things, Father, instead of you, your word, and your will, and your way. Help us, Father, to reach out to this community across the state, across this country, as we are on the internet, Father, to reach some that are hungry, that are looking for something better than what they have, and let them find the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of your word, Father. Now, Father, I ask you to be with me as we get into your word this evening, to bring out the truth. Because, Father, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, so that the words that are spoken tonight, Father, are yours and not mine. And we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And praise the Lord. And we thank him for all that we have and all that he has done, not only for us, but for mankind. Let us never forget to lift him up with praise and thanksgiving. All right. I'm going to be speaking mainly from 1 Timothy chapter 1. But we're also going to hit a few verses in chapter 2. The First Timothy. So let us begin here now with verse 1, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandments of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As I beseech thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless geologies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfringed, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. For we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightst war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forth and begin to speak through me to you, to give us all a greater understanding and the depth to the meaning of this word. And once again, we give thanks, praise, honor, and glory. And we do so unto the Lord Jesus Christ and in his name. Amen. All right. As we back up here now to this first verse, but before I get into this, back into this word here, I want to remind everyone, we are at war. And we are at a great war in which most of our churches has been losing. They've been losing this war. And a lot of them are doing it, as Paul was telling us about the things he had done, and he done it ignorantly. It's really not because they want to be against the Lord Jesus Christ and against the Father, but they went the way of mankind after Satan got a hold of some and got into a few of our churches, and it began to spread, and it spread like a wildfire, and done a lot of damage to our church world. But you and I, we've got to begin to stand up and fight that fight. We are soldiers in the army of God. And you know, we find, well, we are told that in 2 Timothy and in, actually, in chapter 2, we're told all about being soldiers and about how things are. You see, in chapter 2 and verse 3, he tells us, he says, thou therefore endure hardness. And we've got hardness, evil all around us, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. You see, when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and we are accepted, God has chosen you and I to become a soldier in his army. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our way. He is the one that paid the price for you and I. And everything we will receive comes through him. And for us to be able to stand before the throne of Almighty God, we can only do so by going through him. We can't go around him. We can't go over him or under him. We have to go through him. God's word tells us he is the way. There is no other way for man to enter into the kingdom of God. And as we study God's word, we find there are things that you and I have to do. But we don't need to worry about whether we are approved of mankind or not. Because, you see, you and I have to be approved by the Father, our Heavenly Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Father is the one that is the giver, but Jesus is the way it is given. So we need to always know where what we have come from and how it got to us and how it come to be. Now, as we take a look here at this first verse, well, the first two verses, Paul's greetings, he's talking to Timothy. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, you and I, we know that actually Timothy was not Paul's own son, not his blood son, not his son of his flesh, but he was his son in faith, his spiritual son, one that was taught mainly by Paul. And he was one not only after Paul's heart, but he was also a man that was true to Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we come on down here to verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Another verse that has been taken out of the Bible by our churches, because they're teaching many, many, many other doctrines. Think about it. And yet we are told by the Word of God, not here, in a couple other places even, that we preach no other doctrine. We're told even in a couple other places that if we do so, that we are cursed. So we've got to stay in the Word of God as it is written and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that the words that come out of us are the words of Almighty God and not of mankind. Now, verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogy, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. We're not to stand and quibble about things and argue and carry on and look at different myths and genealogies as the scripture tells us here. And Paul is telling Timothy to make sure that things are changed and that he and they teach no other doctrine, that they stay with the true doctrine, which is the truth of God's word. And you see, when we look at myths and things that way, and a lot of things that are being taught today, it brings up questions instead of actually causing edification and edifying for you and I. And that's why we're not seeing the work of God in our land as we saw at one time. You know, there was a time that here in our land, and right here in the county in which I stand, here in the state of Kentucky, all of our churches taught the same thing. The only churches that were different at all was between the Protestant and the Catholic Church. But all of your Protestant churches taught the same word. And they taught it straight from the Holy Bible, and they taught it as it was written. You see, I'm old enough, I can remember those days. I have watched what has happened. I've seen it as it has taken place down through the years, how Satan got in and began to weaken and those places that were used to weaken God's word. And they called a lot of those places seminaries. But the right word for them should have been cemeteries, because they was teaching man-made doctrines and not God's doctrine and the doctrine of this Bible, the apostles' doctrine. You see, especially in this church age, what you and I have been given came from the apostles, but it came not from them, only through them, as it was given to them by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we're coming now down to the end of the church age. And it won't be long until one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be coming back for his church. Will you be ready because a lot of our churches are not. We need to continue praying for not only our nation, our land, but we need to be praying greatly for all of our churches to return back to this holy Bible and the Word of Almighty God and begin to stand on it, not only in their teaching, but in their living. Because you see, you can't teach something and live something else. Because what you live will come out. That's what others will see. Others will see you and the way you live. And then they stand in judgment on you. And I've had many tell me, there's no need for me to go down there to that church because on Saturday night, they're right where I am. Think about that. They're right where I am. I'm as good as they are. Well, maybe so. But is that going to get you into heaven? No, it won't get you into heaven. But it'll sure get you into hell and eventually into that lake of fire. Think about that. And you know, I don't want to see anyone lost. I love mankind. I don't love a lot of things they do. I don't love the sin they do, but I love them and I don't want to see anyone lost. I know there's going to be, yes, because God's Word tells us there's going to be more lost then we'll find salvation. But that's not what God wants. That's not what the Lord wants. That's not what the Holy Spirit wants. And that's not what any man that is called of God and that is walking in and with His Word wants. We all want to see you find the Lord Jesus Christ. Get Him into your life. Get covered by His blood. And make heaven your home. And especially those of our family and our friends that are close around us. We don't want to go to heaven and see them not there. I want to see all of my family there. Will I? Only God knows that. But I do know one thing. I know if I do, there's got to be some changes made. And that's just being honest. And we all have friends and family members that are not living for the Lord our God. They don't study the Word. They don't go to church. Well, now, you know, Pastor, I don't have to go to church. I can get out here and I can talk to people and I can do this and I can do that. That's what I want to do. So I don't need the church. You don't find that in God's word. He tells you not to forsake the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. He also goes on to tell you, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What day? His coming for the church. Get into God's word. But before you get into it, to pick it up, to read it, spend some time with him first in prayer, asking for his guidance and the guidance of the Holy Spirit as you study his word. And then don't read it like a storybook, but read it study-wise, to give the Spirit a chance to reveal things to you as you read, and you'll grow and your life will change. You see, when you become a believer and a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and a child of the living God, your life will drastically change. If you are a member of church now and your life has never really changed, you're still doing a lot of the same old sins and things over and over and over, you better do your first works over and get right with God. Because that change has to come. You are no longer your own person. You belong to Almighty God now. Think about it. You cannot do things your way. You walk, you live by his will, his way, and you learn how to do that through his word, by accepting it for what it says. And quit taking things out of context to use them to make them say what you want it to say. Leave it in the context in which it was written until you get to the end, and then you will see the truth of what you were being told by the Spirit of Almighty God. Think about it. Now, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfringed. Six, from which some having swerved, having turned aside into vain jangling, designed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Paul is warning Timothy, but he's also warning you and I, because this is all God's word under the church age. This is coming from the New Testament, which has been established through his blood. And he's warning you. You know, in the teacher's edition, it tells us, he says, this verse could be translated as follows: but the goal of this command is love from a pure heart and from a clear conscience and from genuine faith. And that's exactly what he means. Now, the command he's talking about there is where he is talking about the truth and the pure heart. Because you see, that's what it takes in order to reach our Heavenly Father. And we gain this through the Lord Jesus Christ, and brought to you and I by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And he talks about there a vain jangling, which strictly just means fruitless discussions. Talk that is profitless, because that kind of thing distracts you and I from spiritual progress. Think about it. And most of all, those that are listening to me, and those that will download this and listen to it even later on, I'm asking you to do one thing. Look at yourself. Look at your heart. Look at your spirit. And see how you are standing. And do it truthfully. And then fix whatever you find that is missing or that is wrong until when you look, you can see a pure heart. And a good conscience. And then you'll know how you are standing with God. I told you in the beginning, there are things that we have to do. God don't just go and open up your head, your heart, and pour this stuff into it. You've got to put it there. And then he will use it as you bring it forth and as you live it. He will bring it forth. Think about that. Now, we go to verse 9. Well, let's see, verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. And you see, this is what most are trying to do today. And they haven't done it purposely to be against and contrary to the word. They've done it through ignorance because it's the way they have been taught through their years. And for those that are standing behind the podiums that's teaching things they ought not, it's because that's what they learned when they went to school to become that pastor. And you see, even a lot of these different places know that they are different. And they know they are teaching a different doctrine, because they will not, we have several, I'm not going to name them, but we have several out here. The only way that a man that is a minister can preach from their podium is he has to be a minister of that denomination that has been through their seminary. Otherwise, they're not going to allow you up there. Think about it. And we're seeing more and more of this all the time. And this pandemic has really brought a lot of things out when it comes to the church world. How many of our churches obeyed man instead of God? Now, hey, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for man-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. You see, all of that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, we know that the law, as the Word is telling us, is not made for a righteous man. You see, the law came along really to let man know what was right and what was wrong. But there was still something missing. You see, when God gave Moses the law, mankind was still kind of on his own. And just like you and I, he had been given a choice, and he could choose how he walked, just as you and I can today. We choose whether we're going to walk with Jesus or whether we're going to walk with Satan and the ways of this world. There's no other way. You are walking one of the two ways. And if you are staying out of the church, you're not in God's Word, you're not living God's Word, then you are serving Satan. Because that's what Satan wants. And he's after those that go to church. That's the ones he's after. Those that don't, he's already got them. He wants those that are out there to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that wants to make heaven their home, because you know, he knows his time now is short, and he knows where he's going, and he wants to take as many with him as he can get. And he's hard at work. That's why we are at war. We are at a spiritual warfare. And those that are the children of God, we are also soldiers in God's army. Now, As we was reading those verses, the unholy, that word unholy, what's the meaning of that word? It means impure. It means you've got sin in your life. Profane. The word profane means defiling sacred things. You know, most don't like to use words like this next word. They like to walk around them. That's the word whoremonger. That means fornicators. That means illegal sexuality. Sex between the unmarried. Think about it. They went on then telling us, as we was reading there, them that defile themselves with mankind. He's talking about the homosexuals. But what are they telling us today? What's our government telling us today about that? We're not to look down on them. We are to accept them because that is just a different lifestyle. No, it's an abomination in the eyes of Almighty God. Has been. You can find it way back even in the Old Testament. Men stealers, kidnappers. Then he went on to tell us and talk about the sound doctrine, which means a healthy teaching. When we have a healthy teaching, we then are under the Bible being properly taught to us. And when that happens, it is actually basically about everything you and I need in order to make it through this life, because it brings us spiritual medicine. It will heal all of man's diseases. It also gives us the right moral nature, which brings you and I into with God a spiritually and ethically and sound and healthy being as a child of the living God. And I'm going to close with that tonight. And may the Lord God, come Thursday evening, I have stopped Tuesday evening services for the time being. But God willing, we can all be together and back into God's Word come Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Father, once again as we come to you now, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come to share your Word with others and with each other, to be support and to help to bring edification unto the church world and unto mankind. that we can be what you want us to be in our dealing with them, in our teaching, so that we don't stray, that we always walk, Father, in your will and in your way. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and to see to their needs. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, they are also, Father, having very hard times. We pray for them. Father, we are praying for them to have peace. But even more than that, Father, we are lifting them up and praying that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Because, Father, one day he's coming back for his church. And then he'll be coming back with his saints to set up his thousand-year millennial reign here on this earth. And we know where he's coming to because we're told. He's going to set his foot upon that Mount of Olives. Now, Father, for this land of ours, a land that took Jesus out of every place he was in, did not want his name mentioned, no way, didn't want his name used in our prayers, took that name away from our military chaplains. Father, this land now has turned its back, not only on him, but on the church, on your people, Father. We need those people out of our government, out of the offices, and we need them replaced, Father, with those that will stand with the church, will stand with Jesus, and will work with us to bring this nation to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being upon your word and the Lord Jesus Christ, so that once more this nation will be known as a nation for Jesus and for you. Now, Father, our prayer list tonight, as each name is mentioned, may the Holy Spirit touch that person and bring about the infilling of whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father. These brothers all come from different walks of life. But Father, my prayer for them is that when they come together for their meetings, that they come together in one mind and one accord, and that being in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson and the Church of God of Brandenburg, to the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, I pray that these churches will be a lighthouse to the community in which they stand, and that only the word of Almighty God, as it is written, is coming from them, that these pastors, Father, in these churches are walking close with Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit, so that they hold these churches on that pathway of righteousness. And Father, the young pastor, Pastor Will, my prayer for Will, Father, is his teacher has been the Holy Spirit, and he is the minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. I lift them up. I put them in your hands. And that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, I pray, Father, for you to see that a man that will speak by the Holy Spirit is always there in that church, Father. And not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word. For my young friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Because, Father, they walk in lands right now to where in places, if they are caught with the gospel, will mean imprisonment and death. For the Johnson family, the Branson family, the Lee family, and for each family where a member has heard this word tonight, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit works within these families and lead them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none of the family is lost and all will be making heaven their home. Now, Father, for Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue, for David, for Kelly Smith and his wife, Father, these all stand in need of the healing touch from the Lord Jesus Christ, whose stripes that he bore, Father. We are told that by his stripes we are healed. Let that healing power, Father, touch these that are in need. Now, Father, make this church what you want it to be. Help me, Father, and use me in mighty and great ways, not to lift me up before man, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask this tonight in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, all. Remember, God willing, we can all be together again come 6 p.m. Thursday evening. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great night now and a great week. Stay in God's word. Spend time with him. He's there waiting for you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless now.